You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Let me introduce the message today. As I introduce it to you this morning, there are two of many, but there are two almost identical sorrows in my life. Two huge sorrows that I've had in my life that have been both basically caused by me. You know, I'm so tired of people always being the victim. They do wrong and then blame everybody around. Do wrong in the home, then blame our parents. We do wrong in our marriage and we blame our mate. And it's our fault. It just seems that's the way of life. We always blame the next guy. And these two events are almost identical. And they were created by me. I think of it not every day, but quite often. It's not going to be that big a disappointment to you, but it's been a huge disappointment to me. My sister in Santa Maria, she's with the Lord now. My sister called me in March of 2017. My wife and I had prayed every single night that God would take my dad's life. He was suffering, and he missed my mother so much, and he was elderly. He was 93. He had lived a good life, but we were so saddened to see him in that condition. He was ready to go to heaven. And she called, and it was a shock because we didn't think it was coming this quick. And she said, Jack, the doctor came. And they said, if your brother or sister want to see your dad, they better come quick. And I wasn't expecting that phone call. I got in the car immediately. I want to say it was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I had not slept very well for a couple nights in a row. That day I had not eaten a thing. And I was kind of weak. I felt a little weak. And I got in the car and I drove to Santa Maria. Got there just a little before 7. My dad was in the same room in a nursing facility, the 24-hour day care that my mother was in, same bed. And I walked into that little room, maybe 12 by 15. They had nothing left. They had to give everything away. He wasn't coherent, but I think he hurt me. He squeezed my hand very faintly. I said, Dad, it's Jack. I came to see you. I want to be with you. And I was so glad. I sat in that chair and I'd sing to him. I'd tell him, Dad, I love you so much. I literally had in my mind the most perfect father anybody could have ever had, and mother. They're wonderful. And I'd talk to him. I'd read him scripture. I'd sing a little bit to him. Kind of thought I was probably Elvis. I'm not sure. We've already gone down that road one time today. Close to midnight, I got so tired. I should have stayed there and slept in the chair. But I said, Dad, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go drive through get a hamburger. I'm hungry. And I'm going to get a hamburger and I'm going to get a hotel room. It's midnight. I'll be back about 3 a.m. By the time we got the hamburger and got a room, and it's about 1 o'clock. And so I said, I'm going to wake up and I'll get up at 3. About 1:30, they called me. They said, if you want to come, you know, could come. You don't need to, but your dad just passed away. I have great sorrow that he sat in that room, laid in that bed alone. But my flesh got so weary. And I left my dad alone in the last hour and a half where maybe he would not have even known I was there. Maybe he would have rallied and said one last thing. The last word I have on my phone, I tried to find it this week. I can't find it. Somebody knows how to work a phone better than I could. The last words I have, he said to me, son, I love you.
Amen.
And I wasn't there, Brother Martinez. The most wonderful man who probably needed me. The same thing happened, a similar story with my mother. Just happened that way, same room. I feel, you know, you're going to don't tell me at the door, you don't have to feel bad about it. Those things I understand that, but it's never going to change how I feel. I missed it. When he needed me, I missed it. And I think about this text. You know, today, maybe you're running out of time. Maybe you're running out of time to get right with your mate. I'm sorry. I have literally at the other building, but even in this building, watched people when their loved ones in a casket saying words, "I'm sorry." Probably 35 years ago, maybe a little longer, I saw a man pick his mother's stiff body up and began to weep, saying, "Please, Mom, please." It was frightening. "Please, forgive me. Mom, forgive me. Mom." I've been at her cemetery plot recently. I saw it. "Forgive me, Mom." He was in his 60s. Too late. Too late. I wonder, you have to get right with your mother, dad. You don't get right, it's too late. We had a most wonderful story in class today. Our pianist over here, at birth, he was adopted. Never seen his birth mom till this last week in Mexico. Both Brother Galvan and his wife and her grandkids were so gracious to her. She got saved last year, baptized when they were down there this week. He doesn't have any animosity to that birth mom. She was a young girl. And he has life today because she didn't take his life. He was so good to her and she loved him. And he was taken on that day one into a Baptist preacher's home. He got to get saved and on his way to heaven. Now he's married, has his own family. Stop being the victim. You're running out of time to get right with your son or your daughter or your mom or your dad or your grandparents. Running out of time to pay your bills. You're running out of time to be right with the folks around you. I regret I wasn't with him when he needed me. And tonight, today, I wasn't aware that was so close. I thought I had more time. I thought I could be there at 3 and maybe sometime the next day or two he'd go. But I missed it. Jesus, God's word says in James, in chapter number 4 and verse number 13, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such a city and buy and sell, wherein is your life is but a vapor. It appeareth for a moment and is vanished away." We have no assurance that we'll be alive tomorrow. Think of my good deacon, Brother Florendo, who was here in church on Sunday night. And he and I about the same age. And on Monday in an appointment with the CPA a few weeks ago, all of a sudden there in the appointment, he passed away. We have no assurance. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen next week. I do know that this appointed a man wants to die. I want to be so right with that lady, my wife. She's given me almost 52 years of life where she's been there every moment of the journey. I think of her little daughter, our daughter, now has got these grown kids and Tabitha. I want to be so right with her and her sweet husband. I want to be right with God's people. I can pillow my head tonight. The Lord allows me to live and say, there's nothing between me and one church member at the North Valley Baptist Church. Amen. I'm not going to bad, mad and bitter and upset and frustrated with God's people. Yeah. Man, those deacons should have paid me more. They paid me much more than I'm worth, I'll tell you that right now. God's people have been too good. Yes. Now, you say, well, I had somebody tell me one time years ago, how do you get people to do so much for you, Brother Trevor? Tell me how that happens. And I said, that'll never happen. You're not there to get, you're there to give. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Give, and it shall be given. That's why in God's economy, explain it, I can't explain it, Brother Flood, but you give, God gives back. He always gives back. We're running out of time. And here the scripture says, in this text, in verse number 11, and that knowing the time, do you know the time? Are you aware of the time? Are you aware of what's going on? Every moment's valuable. When a person, I'll tell you this, becomes aware that they're running out of time, they don't desire to watch the news. That's not our priority. When you run out of time, like a few months before my dad passed, my wife sat on the bed with them, and I've got it on my phone, in the sweet, they sang together, by and by, we shall meet on that beauty. She sang slowly. He still was trying to get, he got the words in. That's what means something to you. Not the news. Not the baseball standings. I want to play. I want to party. I want to have a good time. You know what I want to do? I want to be with family. I want to be with God's people. Don't. I sit here and I'm thinking, I'm so glad I got to come to church today. Hear that choir sing. Hear those men sing without me. Brother Ellie, they don't let you in the group either, are you? They don't like us. Sort of like golf. I saw a guy this week. I said, what's your hobby? He said, golf. I was at the airport in Dallas, I think. And he said, I don't play it. They discriminate against me. Of course, nowadays you got to. I said, yeah, they do. They never cut the grass where I hit the ball. And he laughed. It was a pilot, you know. We were having a good time. I want you to know, I'll tell you what means a lot to me. When I'm running out of time, Sunday school. I want to go to Sunday school. I want to be at Sunday morning. I want to be at Sunday night. I want to be at Wednesday night. I want to be, I never preach out of town on Sunday or Wednesday. Only Bobby Roberts Church in all these years, I would have once a year a revival there. But I never miss. I want to be with you. Wednesday night, I chose to stay over because Brother Gammons has been so good to us at our pastor's conference. He comes and stays and gives us that Wednesday night as well. I thought I owed it to him. They put up a big tent, cost a lot of money. And I said, I'll stay. God really used it in my own heart, those dear sweet folks. But I tell you what, on Wednesday night, I looked at 6 o'clock. I said, it's 3 o'clock at home. Can't make it now. I looked at 7 o'clock. We began at 7. I said, it's 4 back home. It's kind of fun to preach back there. When it's 7, they think I'm preaching off of 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I've got a lot of hours ahead of me when it's that kind of time zone. Can I tell you this? I kept thinking. I got back to my hotel about 10:15, maybe 10:20. And I turned KNBBC on. I heard some guy trying to preach in this pulpit. It was just terrible. It was just terrible Wednesday night. The service here, just awful, just awful. And the problem was, I was listening to Brother Everson preach. I thought, wow, he's doing a good job. I wish you'd drop the ball. When I'm out of town, which is hardly ever, don't do a good job, fellas. It sounded like you had a good service. But I tell you what, I missed you. I had the best time with those dear sweet people talking to them. But I missed you. Those people back there don't even speak English. I was making fun of them. I said, you say y'all. And they said, no. I said, yeah, you say y'all. What am I, fat? You all? I'm one person. You all? What's the deal here? They say, it's y'all. Y'all? They'll say hello, and it's kind of scary because they make it 20 minutes to say hello. And there's some letters there got there that they're hanging on to a little bit too long. Hello? My goodness, that doesn't even sound good. Don't you want to go to church? Don't you want to be with God's people? I don't know all about. I've never heard the voice of the vice president in 4 years. I've never heard. I don't know what it sounds like. I don't know what this guy is at all that she's chosen. Maybe I did hear the other fellow, the vice president. I guess I hear his voice a little bit. I don't know what these people sound like. My life's not absorbed with them, but someone told me yesterday that the one vice president said one of the things we need to stop in America is these large gatherings in churches. In November, you're going to decide if that's what you want. I want to obey the Bible, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together as a manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. I did read one candidate said, I'm against Israel. Well, then I'm against that candidate. God says, I'll bless the nation that blesses Israel. I'll curse the nation that curses Israel. I know one candidate said, I believe in abortion. Well, I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, over 60 million babies have been slaughtered in America in the womb. Something's wrong with us. Not 60,000, 60 million. When we devalue life to the point where you can take the life of a baby, we're a sick nation. Not less. I want more. You know, there's many folks that thought they had plenty of time. So Ananias and Sapphira, they sold a piece of ground in Acts chapter 5, and they kept the money back from themselves, acted like they gave the money. But God says today, and both died. Because they lied to man, they lied to God. God says, your time is up. Do you know that there are two heathen boys? Eli was a good, godly man, but his two boys were wicked men. And the one boy had a wife that was expecting, and both those boys died. And when the wife gave birth to that child, she fell backwards. She heard the news of her husband died, hit her head, and she died. And the Bible said they had a little baby, and all now brother, husband, and wife, gone. And the Bible said they named him Ichabod, the glory's departed. Sometimes we don't know how fast life comes at us. You know, in our church, you know about most of the people that have illnesses, but there's never a week goes by someone says, I have this illness. Many times it's terminal, but I don't want to announce it yet. You just, between you and me, you pray about it. It happens all the time. In this room, I remember so clearly what your dad said to me. We were roommates in college, and age 51, he passed away. He's laid to rest out here in Santa Clara. And he said to me one time, months before he passed away, he said, it looks like I'm okay right now. I'm this time cancer-free. But the doctor said, Brother Davis, here's the word he used. The doctor said the shoe could drop any day. I'll never forget when I saw him. He'd come home from a road trip. It was up in El Camino Hospital. His body, you could see, it was a little yellow. Jaundice had set in. And he said, Trebe, the shoe just dropped. Their dad was one of the greatest men I've ever met in my life. Great preacher, great friend, great everything about him, A+. You never know. Just because you do wrong, sometimes the people doing wrong get to live. Sometimes the folks doing right pass away. Your life is but a vapor. No awareness. Absalom's riding on a mule, got that long hair, he's trying to usurp the throne of his dad, be the king. He didn't realize that his hair was going to twirl around in a branch on an oak tree, and he was going to hang. Then his cousin Joab was going to come and thrust through and kill his own cousin. He didn't realize that was going to happen, but today is accepted time. His day was up. Ahab went out to war and said, I'm going to disguise myself so nobody sees who I am. I'm the king, a wicked king. He's out there in his chariot. A boy pulls the bow back and the string, and he pulls it back, and the arrow just shoots it. The Bible says randomly. It hit him. He said, I'm dying. And he died that day thinking, I've got plenty of time. The Bible declares that it's time to wake up. For now is our salvation, our deliverance, heaven, rapture. There's two things. Then you first believe. That's the salvation that God took place. But the other is the second coming. Now is your salvation, your deliverance, nearer than when you first believed. I'm closer to heaven now since the day I trusted Christ so many years ago. You've been patient with me. I want to just sort of close telling you that my dad, I wasn't aware how close he was. I thought he had more time. I thought I could get a nap and be back and showered and cleaned up and ready to go stay with them the day and night. But I missed it. My question is, who do you need to get right with today? Who is it in your life? Well, they wronged me. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. And I don't want anything between us. I don't want anything between me and that dear lady. Because if the rapture doesn't occur suddenly, one day she's going to see me in a box right there. Or I'll see her in a casket right there. The thought of it bothers me. I don't want her living with a guy who's a grump, antagonistic, critical, mean, upset. People ask me all the time, what do you think in November if things don't happen right? We're going to be in trouble, they say. What are we going to do? I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm coming to church on Sunday morning and preaching. I'm not going to allow Washington, D.C. to affect my life. Now, they may try to regulate it more. They may try to control it more. They may want to try to shoot me up with needles and all these things. They want to mandate shots for older people. You know, we're living too long. We're draining Social Security, is what they think. I don't know what's going to happen this way, but I know what's going to happen this way. I am happy today, and the sun shines bright. The clouds have been rolled away. Jesus said, whosoever will may come. And I went to him and got saved, and my security is in Jesus and not in the D.C., Washington, D.C. Who do you need to get right with? And then I want to ask you, are you right with God? Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? The old songwriter, and we can remember, I remember my parents singing it. How about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts today. How about your heart? Well, I think I'll take care of it tomorrow. I think I'll do this tomorrow. But don't live today for tomorrow and miss today. You've been patient with the sound. Father, I love these people so much. My goodness, what a blessing to be their friend, to be their pastor. I thank you for visitors that are here. But sometimes we're not even aware of what's going around us. I think of those 108,000 young people that died in the streets of our city last year with fentanyl. Just young people. So many parents, good parents, but they all say, I had no idea. Kids that destroy their lives with the internet and go off and run off and meet somebody. It's just a vile situation. I think of how we've got to keep our eyes open, dear Lord. We must keep our eyes open, our ears open to you and to those around us.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.